We do have tonight this one-week-long topic that I think that, some of you've already written about, and we appreciate that. The seduction of popular culture, information from Hell's Kitchen. Now, that again, you've got to understand that there is a contrast, but also a conflict. There is a spiritual conflict that is going on, and there is vast contrast between the two sides. And that has manifested itself out into the world of nations and politics and wars and into the lives that we have where there's been a battle and so forth. It deals with, again, relationship to God, the way things should have been, the way things are right now, and the way things are going to develop very shortly. But there is one infallible, indestructible, irrevocable hope, and that is God, the Prince of Peace, the return of Christ. Listen, that is when culture, when truth prevails, aletheia, reality, truth, honesty, in every level of, if you want to call it society, the kingdom of God. And it's coming. All of us can be a part because the cross, there where Christ died, is for the sum total, pos anthropos, all humanity. Hey, I'm the guest host tonight. This is Russ Dizdar. The website for us, if you're new to this voice, is shatterthedarkness.net. Shatterthedarkness.net. And you're going to find literally hundreds of MP3s, a lot of information. And listen, you're going to find that it's a busy site. So take your time. And start in the middle large column where it says you can listen to live radio. That's where individuals can go to, you know, touch on the topics for each night and takes you to how to get the screen and how to listen. If you don't get to listen during the day, during the live show right now, there also are the archives listed at the Steve Quayle site and also ours, only the ones that we do, is also listed at our site. We have the new series, Dark Rituals, Dark Powers, that is up and growing. Psy Wars, The Rise of Homo Satanas, and ESP versus HSP, all of those are ongoing. Got to give you news for those who have bought the book, The Black Awakening. I know that it's over 660 pages that we had promised you supplemental chapters done in PDF form. So starting this weekend, you can check this out on the main site also. You can go to www.theblackawakening.com and the PDF files and the titles to those chapters will be listed and will begin this weekend. And so you've got a book, literally, that's interactive. When you buy the book, The Black Awakening, many of you did at the St. Louis Conference and also at the Nashville Conference. Basically, we sold all that we had. We don't have any. The publisher's dealing with all of it now. So if you want to get it, you can get it that way. But I'm just telling you that anybody can get the supplemental chapters. And the book includes up to 80 hours of training, each of those 1 hour long, training MP3s. The same kind of courses we've taught in churches and in places all over the place. So it's all there, and you can check that out. Also, the newsletter. We put out a newsletter twice a month now called The Preemptor. And so I want you to know that that's been put out. As we said, it would be released on May the 11th. If you go to the site, shatterthedarkness.net, top right-hand corner, there it tells you to click on for the newsletter. And we have a tiny book review issue, a lot of brand new things that are up. Under Dark Theology, we had some interactions with a sub-personality that is writing about the Melissa Huckabee case, the girl that ritually murdered Sandra Chantu. And again, a terrible crime. But one of the things about the kinds of crimes that are unsolved that we're dealing with right here in our area, the satanic ritual type crimes, done by subpersonalities that are trained, demonized, programmed. It's all about a blood, a pure Aryan or kind of a satanically charged blood. So anyway, the newsletter's there. You can get it by clicking onto that. If you want it on a bi-monthly level sent to your email, just check out on the website how to get the newsletter bi-monthly sent to you. Again, absolutely free. Listen, tonight, in dealing with the seduction of popular culture, I want you to think about that for a few moments. Now, we all know that when you go to buy a car, when you listen to ads on television or the radio, you know, we know that in culture we're lied to a lot. There's a lot of spin to everything. There's a lot of things that are spoken only to get us to buy in. And there's manipulation, let alone the fact. Now, listen. 2 Corinthians 4:4 talks about the God of this age, small g, in reference to the Luciferic presence that blinds the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the glory of the gospel of Christ, who is the icon, the image of God. He is the visible, invisible God. In other words, God, who we don't actually see with our eyes, has become visible. When Philip asked Jesus, "Show us the Father," Jesus said, "Don't you know me?" And then he broke kind of the syntax of the language when he said, "I and the Father, we are one." One and the same. To see me is to see the Father. So for anybody out there, deep seekers, deep thinkers, forget about using the excuses of the church or of bitternesses or of being hurt or the imperfections. Just go to the source of the cross, of salvation, of God's power, God's peace. Go to Christ. Take a look there. And I don't believe you will be able to find, in looking at his life, looking at his words, looking at his works, I don't think you're going to find that you got any excuses. You won't be able to turn God into all kinds of other stuff once you keep looking at the real, the living Christ. Now, we're going to talk about Monday night. We really got cut short, so I'm going to give you the ending of Monday night here in just a couple moments. And then we are on tonight in this 1 hour. Time Magazine put out a special edition, Secret Societies and Decoding the Myths. Again, popular culture. And this tells us, again, the vast, deep, wide, broad interest in the conspiracies, into looking into what's behind the scenes. Who's the man behind the curtain pulling the strings in politics, in military, in the economics? I mean, who's back there? Is there anybody back there? What about the secret societies? Now, why should any American or, well, actually anyone from any of the nations even think about it? I mean, there's 56,000 Masonic temples all across America. Many of the presidents, artisans, musicians, philosophers, writers, we're all a part of the Masons. There's a Masonic temple in your area. There's a Masonic temple everywhere, you know, all over the place. So I'm just telling you that Time Magazine is hitting on the issue of the conspiracies of the Da Vinci Code and on all the rest. Now we're going to get into secret societies tonight, beginning right about 25 after. We're going to touch on real quick here something that we did. But I'm going to tell you that, again, we are offering on the shatterthedarkness.net site, absolutely free, the course that we used here locally, Confronting the Powers. If you're a believer in Christ, please know that will be an encouragement to you. It's absolutely free. Now, we're going to add this Friday to the newsletter that's already out now and to the main site. The course, the training course, has over 14 hours of training called Supernatural Apologetics. Remember Stephen in the book of Acts? He had a spirit and wisdom by which no one else could stand up against. He had a spirit, the spirit of God, and a wisdom that came from God, created him by one critics could stand up against. And so the concept of supernatural apologetics actually comes from a Greek word found in the book of 1 Peter about giving an answer, a reason for the incredible, indestructible, eternal, immortal hope. Listen, I live with hope daily, and I have it for the end of days. My mother is much older now, and there's times that she's told me she just wants to die, that daily she waits, she prays for Jesus, for God to come and take her. She just wants to go. All the pain, all the surgeries, all the things that are left in that frail and hurting and that body of hers, she's ready to go. And inside of her, she knows where she's going. So when I talk about hope, it's the biblical concept, meaning an absolute, assured, irrevocable hope. Now, today, I can pray. Today, God can be operative in my life. Today, God can, well, he can do a lot of things in all of our lives. And I just want to say this. I hope you know him. And if you're a believer in Christ, I want to say again, welcome to all the believers. We love you. Glad to meet a lot of you, or some of you anyway, in Michigan, St. Louis, and Nashville. Pray about it. We'd love to come to your town. We want to do a conference in your area, and we'd love to come there. So pray about that, and think about, and pastors, think about maybe the possibility. We've spoken into many, many, many churches all over, and we'd love to come and be a part in your area. So we want to just say welcome to you. Welcome to the seekers. Welcome to the skeptics. We have a few that listen to the show and some that have written us, which I'm glad that you have. You know, suggesting things, asking questions. And again, I don't even care if you're antagonistic. I don't care if you throw up some big, hard things. I understand that. I have no problem with that at all. Years ago, I stood at a college where I was going to school, Cumberland College. When I say years, I mean like 32 years ago. Down at Cumberland College, I was there in the summer for the courses, and I was outside the dorm, standing there talking to a young man raised in a church whose dad was a preacher, but he was a non-believer, and was angry with God. I don't know why for sure, but he stood there as we started to talk, and he put his middle finger up into the air, and he cussed God out, as if he was trying, though, to shock me. And maybe even anger me. And I think that he was the one maybe shocked that I did not blow up on him. See, the cross is where Jesus said, don't forget these words. Let them sink in. And I'm talking to the perpetrators, those who have done the crimes, those who are doing the ritualistic abuse, those who are doing the recon, those who are doing the summoning, even fighting against us. These words were for you when Christ, the sinless Christ, after all the beatings and everything else, he was nailed to the cross. Now listen, on that cross in agony, it is there he spoke the words I think billions should hear. I've had psychologists tell me that, Russ, if we could convince many people who are in the psych wards that they are absolutely and utterly forgiven, that the bad things that they have done, that the guilt and conflict they feel within was completely taken away, I think that we could clear out more than half of the psych wards in America. Jesus spoke these words. Listen, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Remember those words? Father, forgive them. Now listen, off my lips, they may mean nothing, but they're prophesied in the Old Testament, and now in the fulfillment of Isaiah 53, written 700 years prior, is now Messiah. God in human flesh, who's come for one reason: reveal himself, reveal the truth, reveal the real enemy of humankind, sin and Satan, reveal that God's passionate desire is to redeem us, save us, bring us back. On that cross, from the words of, just by observation in history, one of the most powerful individuals in all of human history. If you leave it to the Spirit of God, the prophets, the apostles, and the elect angels of God, they'll all tell you, hey, this is God in human flesh, and here are the words of God. As blood dripped and struck the dust in Jerusalem, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The power of the cross and the grace of God is infinitely broader, bigger. It's massive in comparison to your sin, to the sins of the world, to the sins of any human being. So for those who have cussed God out, the words of Jesus, the grace of God, awaits your reply. He's knocking if you don't know him. If you're a believer backslidden, hiding out, running around, defeated, those are the words that continue to speak. A Savior who is so much bigger than the sin we've committed. So much bigger than the devil who has led us into this hellishness. And in the midst of all of it, yes, we're living in a world where, in the end of days, well, there is a seduction of popular culture. And tonight, Tuesday night, we're dealing with Time Magazine, Secret Societies, and Decoding the Myths. Now, yesterday, on Monday night, the archives are up, but listen, we looked at U.S. News and World Report's Special Edition Magazine. It was dealing with what they called, quote, now listen, the secrets of Christianity. The secrets of Christianity. Oh, what really? You know, what are the secrets? Please understand, in this magazine, they have gone back to the old Gnostics, the New Agers of today, those who are pulling up what they call ancient, hidden, discarded manuscripts that give a different report. So it's a revisionist history of everything concerning God, Christ, the Word, the cross, all of it. And so yesterday I began to go over what they were saying. The secrets, to, in their view, was the idea of a cover-up. That Christianity, the Bible, the church that we see today is all a mock-up in comparison to what the reality was back in those days. And back in those days, they go into the bloodline of Jesus, Mary, the possibility of Jesus having a baby, not being God in human flesh, the cross having really no massive meaning, and that all these other manuscripts that were also written were discarded by the church, and it was a cover-up, and it was hidden. Now, again, anybody knowing the real factors of New Testament manuscripts, the history, knows a number of things. One, for one, is the New Testament that we have right now is the most attested to on the basis of archaeology, history, and manuscript evidence than anything. It blows out of the waters anything else, let alone the supernatural power of it. So what you have in your hands today, the revisionist view that U.S. News World Report seems to also project, the Jesus Seminar people, liberals, and listen, every single cult and sect and even secret society have one thing in common. They have both engaged the claims of Christ in the Scripture, rejecting it. They have accepted a different revelation that brings a revisionist view. In other words, there is by the dark side a revising. Instead of a front-on attack, the dark side seeks simply to revise. The Bible's okay, but it's not really the Word of God that the revision is. There are other manuscripts. Let's go to the other manuscripts. Gospel of Thomas, Gospel of Judas, Gospel of Mary, all the other, you know, hidden, secretive, you know, religious documents that the church never wanted you to know about. Well, listen, they are called pseudepigraphic. They were not authored by the Spirit of God. They were not authored by real apostles of God. All of them have in common, along with secret societies today, including the Masons, all of them, is a rejection of the infallibility, the integrity, the power, and the what we have in our hands right now, the Word of God. They also reject the deity of Christ in all of the claims. Included with that, they would reject the resurrection and reject the offer of the of what occurs in salvation, direct access to God, knowing God, and eventually indestructible immortality and seeing God. Now, again, that's what happens. And U.S. News and World Report, as I mentioned on Monday night, the secrets of Christianity, actually the New Testament literally talks about the mysterium, the mystery of the past, the secrets of the past have now been disclosed. The New Testament unveils all of these mysteries to show you that the mystery of God is Christ, the coming of Christ, the salvation of Christ, the work of Christ, the second coming of Christ. And so the New Testament is an explosive, massive revelation that deals with the fulfillment of the ages and brings to us not only does it bring and unveil all of what has been going on through the centuries, and brings to us finally now the exact representation of God's very being in human flesh, Hebrews chapter 1. But it also gives massive revelation of actual future history. Now, you might be listening to me right now. It's 25 after 7 Eastern Standard Time. You don't know what's going to happen at 8 o'clock. I assume at 8 o'clock I'm going to shut this off, get off the lines, get the equipment off my head, and then I'm going to put the archives up, do some other work, go up, get something to eat, and go on with my evening. But I can't predict an hour. I have no idea, ultimately, what is going to go on. Now, we make plans. But God does know. God, not like finite powers that are operative in psychics, occult predictors, remote viewers, things like that. We now have the infinite, beyond time and space, but acting in it. Beyond the limitations of linear history, but acting in it. Standing at both sides, the beginning, the end of history, and right here in the middle, all at the same time, and then also outside of all of it. God is immense, infinite, immeasurable. And so when God tells us about the second coming, about Armageddon, about the abyss, about the Antichrist, about the great chaos, about the ramping up, about the disintegration of culture, it all lends itself back to the biblical revelations of how there are lies being produced and a goal to bring seduction to popular culture, and ultimately the information may be coming directly from Hell's Kitchen. God's the one and the only one who can show exactly what a supernaturally bathed in shadow secrecy, a dark agenda that is as never before in history communicating. And if they cannot just simply attack and draw you away, then the goal would be through the lives of those that they inspire, that they operate in, that they work in, they will seek to reduce the Word of God, God, Christ, resurrection, salvation, the end of history. They will exchange the glory of God for images, lesser things. They will lead you, if you follow them, to exchange the truth of God for a lie. Just like in the garden. And dear, sweet human being, friend of mine, that's why we are in the decrepit, decaying, dying, bleeding, bloody, ragged edge of a world mess we are in right now. So please hear me when I say that their goal to bring a revisionist view of God, reducing God to energy, that kind of thing, of Christ, reducing Jesus to a psychic or religious teach, of the resurrection, reducing that to the swoon theory that Jesus really didn't die, that he went off and he married or he got together with Mary, had babies, and there's the whole Merovingian, there's the whole bloodline, there's the Da Vinci Code, there's all of that. That ends up where? Goddess worship? And where does that lead you? If you want to worship the finite, if you want to embrace the finite, where the demons themselves or the images or creation. I mean, creation would slap you in the face and say, stop it. Worship God. Let's take a few moments tonight. Let's listen to Steve Quayle. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Hey, this is Russ Dizdar again. Welcome back tonight. We are dealing with, seduction of popular culture and things that are occurring. We dealt with Monday night, the U.S. News World Report, special edition. Again, confusing popular society. It's like the Da Vinci Code. Millions got involved in the reading of the book, seeing the movie. And again, the confusing word where many people that walked out of the show were asked by reporters, does it matter? Does it matter that Jesus, you know, if he was married, things like that, had babies, a bloodline? Well, that means that he didn't rise from the dead, which means that the entire New Testament story is absolutely wrong, and that everything in the Old Testament, including the prophets that spoke about, or Psalm chapter 16, that spoke about the resurrection 1,000 years in advance. So it really does matter. because we're dealing with truth or we're dealing with a lie. And the goal, again, is a presentation, and a very forceful one in the end of days, of a lie that leading up to the apex, Homo Satanus, Satan in human skin, globalism, that'll bring a destruction of billions in the shortest amount of time. Now, we should have some concern that since all of God's, well, prophetic insight that he gives what occurs has always been 100% accurate, way beyond the remote viewers, the psychics, Nostradamus, than anything. So does this mean politicians should look, military people should look, society should look? I think so. Because the force guiding globalism comes with an ancient hate that will lead into a critical mass of you know, kind of like a riotous hatred ultimately towards Christ. What's the reason? What's the reason? Let me tell you one quick thing, then I'm going to go into all of the basics on secret societies. I didn't tell you this last week, but I want to bring it out tonight on Walpurgis Night, 10 days ago or so. We were out with a team. Actually, we had a couple new young individuals, including my daughter. So we didn't go to any places that were very deeply serious. We didn't have any major leads, but we did go to a couple of places where rituals have been done, where even a death may have been involved, and where we and law officers and others have heard for a long time, Stairway Coven. So I take them to the Catholic Church, the Grotto, probably around midnight, right around, they have the candles out in the little cave area where you can go in and pray. Now, we sat down at some tables. We were talking about the rituals, and there was a new young man that went with us, and he was asking questions. The next thing we know, there's the police showing up with a canine dog coming, stopping us back there, sitting in the grotto area. We began to be literally, you know, ask all the questions, which, again, was normal. That was fine. I've been there many, many times, and they were actually prepared, along with neighbors who had weapons, and the priest. They were looking for anyone showing up there that would be doing satanic rituals. The neighbor man that had the weapon with him, standing next to the priest after the two officers left with the canine dog, once they found out who we really were, they were okay with it. But the reason they were out prepared and ready to pounce was because of the satanic rituals, both sex and blood, and damages that were done, including large, old, big steel crosses turned upside down in rituals back in the grave cemetery side of the Catholic Church. And so it was really a verification. They were out to catch who had been doing stuff there for a long time. Now, I did a series here a week or so ago on 500 satanic rituals. And I hope that you'll go back to that, because I think that that relates to the concept of secret societies. Time Magazine put out a special edition that deals with the myths or decoding the myths of secret societies. The question is, have we decoded the myths? Do we know what they are? I mean, they list, you know, of course, the Illuminati, they list the Rosicrucians, the Masons, the Templars, they go across the board. They include, though, by the way, the Mafia, Yakuza, and a bunch of others. They didn't include everything. They didn't include the Black Flame, the Brotherhood. They didn't include, from what I saw anyway, Skull and Bones, the Bilderbergers, Bohemian Grove, and a lot of the other things. Listen, we've got in America, let alone Canada, other places. But here we know that there's a massive, massive, from the beginning of the inception of America to this day, that behind the scenes, there are the development of, or the operating of secret societies. Now, I'm going to say that the real, satanically supernaturally cloaked secret society agenda isn't on the list. You've got to understand, it's very, very hard to penetrate and get the facts on, you know, the bottom layer where the fallen cherub literally orchestrates and runs things. The Bible's very clear. Even if Antichrist is alive and been out there 30 years, he hasn't been revealed to the world. The apocalypse of the Anthropos Anamos, the man of lawlessness, has not yet occurred. But he has to be out there for a pretty long time before the man that has a face like a man, Daniel says, is revealed to the world. Now, is there a secret society? Is there a regime that is pretty much global, deeply entrenched in the belly of the beast of Europe, throughout the United States, the ones that will cause the chaos and rise to bring a new regime to the world and actually grab global rule? Now, that is where Time Magazine has not been able to penetrate, and most don't. It's without question God has and has given massive insight to and a heads up to the development, to where if you know prophetic biblical revelation, you'll be able to spot and see the developments of the most secretive, supernaturally so, dark agenda that is revealing itself. It's like the horns are right out of the surface of the deep waters, and the rest is coming. Now, God in biblical revelation goes below the waters to say, hey, here's what he's going to do. Here's what it's going to look like. Here's the sequence. Here's what's going to happen. And if we don't know these things as believers, well, we're just simply lazy or nuts for not getting the cutting edge intel that comes from heaven concerning the world you and I live in. Secret societies, when you think of them, everybody right away will say, well, the Masons. And again, the Da Vinci Code, the Opus Dei was involved, secret societies. That was, you know, they were intertwined with technologies like, CERN, the super collider, and the God particle issue. So we find the secret societies and suspense and all that, and there's bits and pieces of truth in all of that. And it's kind of funny how real believers go to watch the Da Vinci Code or read about it and kind of dissect it. And then there are the popular culture, I believe, again, seduced by a lot of it, because popular culture believes that there are real conspiracies, but they don't know how to nail them down or know the difference. But then there's the secret societies themselves. You wonder whether or not Masons, high-up Masons, sat in the theaters watching Da Vinci Code, or Rosicrucians, or Skull and Bones men, or the Knights of Malta, or the Black Nobility. You wonder how the real Illuminati, not just the old philosophical, you know, side and Adam Weishaupt and so forth, but I'm talking about the ones that would claim illumination from Lucifer. I mean, even Albert Pike in his Dogmas and Morals will point in that direction. Now, here's the amazing thing. In America, there's probably, some say, 53 to 56,000 Masonic temples. That does not include Rosicrucians and the Ordo Templi Orientis and, well, the Theosophical Society, all the rest. Thousands of little New Age groups and so forth. But I'm talking about those birthed in secrecy that do their stuff in secrecy that only allow you in little by little by little by little, even in our attempts to infiltrate, counter-infiltrate on an evangelistic level, but also on the basis of the Word of God's teaching to expose evil deeds of darkness. Let me say frankly and clearly, no believer, no pastor anywhere should be a part of a secret society. I mean, that goes without saying, you are part of the society of the kingdom of God. You're part of the body of Christ. You're part of being light to the world, because the mystery of the past has been unveiled completely in Christ, unveiled and revealed in the New Testament, and it reveals what is coming in detail. So how could any pastor being recruited by other Masons come to a meeting, go through a type of ritual if they actually decide to join and declare themselves in the darkness, and they go through a little ritual thing that then they are brought out into the Masonic light? What a betrayal of your faith in Christ. What a betrayal. Again, the seduction, and so many of us don't have any idea of the depth. Listen, I've got Dogmas and Morals written by Alvin Pike. I can't read all of it because some of it's written in other languages that I don't know. We're talking about individuals that, you know, no question as far as their studies and that kind of stuff, they're there. But as far as their belief systems, it's very clear there's a belief in the Luciferic light. Christ is not God, a syncretism. And if you ever do get inside one of those 53 to 56,000 Masonic temples in the United States, why do I mention Masons? Hey, listen, to the Masons that are listening, to the Masons that won't tell people, you know, deacons and others that have been recruited, you won't even tell people at your church, because you know why? You're sworn to a secrecy that is in violation to the revealed will of God and God's presence, that is ultimately linked to the dark side's agenda of replacement spirituality. There's a syncretism. The Vedas are there. The Quran is there. The Bible is there. The most ancient occult symbols, sigils, emblems, statues, all of which can be doorways, not including the rituals that are done, you have among the Masons some of the most, well, some of the oldest and broadest doorways to planos, that is, seducing spirits, and to the dark side entering in. So if we have Masons who were presidents, Masons who were involved in the placing of the pyramid in the all-Illuminati on the back of the dollar bill, listen, Americans, you've got to know that behind the scenes, just flipping your dollar over tells you, listen, there is an underbelly to all that is going on. Secret societies that are a little bit known, like Masons, Rosicrucians and so forth. Well, really, what do you know? I mean, I've asked this many times in conferences all over. How many people have seen, I mean, literally watched as dozens of Masons have, like church, you know, like a church, where they all gather each week at the same time, go in. See, at church, you can gather there at Sunday, 11 o'clock, whatever, and, you know, hundreds of people going in, hundreds of people going out. I was at a church, brand new church this last week. Was a visitor, parked in the visitor spot, welcomed by individuals, sat down, open to all. That's not true of Masonic meetings. You're not going to go and see dozens of people going in, dozens of people coming out on a same time period. Basically, you're going to almost never see any going in or going out. When do they go in and go out? When are those meetings? Have you ever been to one of the ritual rooms in a Masonic temple? Do the Masons that are listening now realize that collectively, even at the lowest levels, there is a replacement spirituality, and the Masonic order, like the Rosicrucians, like the OTO, like the Theosophical Society, they'll present a dumbed down, de-deified, non-saving Christ. So when they say, oh, we believe in Christ, they don't believe in Jesus Christ at all. I was sitting at a table eating dinner, and to my amazement, the pastor across from me, pastor of a small church, somebody said something at the table, and I mentioned the Masons and the number of temples and the occult background and the Didake of the Demonoia. When I began to mention all of this, their denial of the deity of Christ and everything else and the saving work and so forth, right away he started to defend and said that he'd been to a Masonic meeting where he was invited to watch somebody else join or something like that. And he said there wasn't much to it. And I looked at him in amazement. Amazement, my dear friends, that a pastor, to be a spiritual leader of a local flock of God, a pastor who should be on top of all the information biblically and what's going around, here's a watchman, here's a guardian, here's a defender of the faith, here's a promoter of the faith, utterly seduced, having no idea, and I started to share some of those ideas, and he almost looked at me as though I was the one telling him lies concerning, well, the actual beliefs that are written in Albert Pike, the actual ceremonies, the former Masons that are out there. I mean, it's absolutely dumbfounding to me, really is. But again, I think that's because, again, of the secret society's nature. Is there a spirituality behind the Masons? Well, they're all going to claim yes. Same with Scientology. They demand you believe that they are a religion. They don't have any God. They got aliens. They got Albert. They have Hubbard, Ron L. Hubbard. I've been to the Hollywood Scientology building. We got in as far as we could, and they even showed us a film. I watched it, the absolutely revisionist views of religion, of everything, and their declaration that Jesus Christ failed. You know, I don't know if some of the Hollywood stars hear me. I don't know if Tom Cruise will ever hear this. But how can you embrace a system that forthrightly declares that Christ failed, that all of our issues are with aliens that once came, Thetans? Well, listen, I'm not going to go into Scientology today. I mean, the secret Scientology police might show up. In many churches, it's sad to me that you think that there are deacons and elders and others that have been recruited. They've been in the Masons all their lives. They think there's nothing wrong with it. You know, if there is, why don't they open it up? Why don't they open it up broad and show everybody? Why don't they invite anybody that can come to their services and observe and to watch? No, it's done exactly like left-hand path, occult, satanic spirituality. It's all done in incremental little bits and pieces so that the process of blinding, spiritually blinding, the, you know, one layer at a time, one blanket, another blanket, another blanket, another blanketing. That process of one meeting, the second meeting, the third meeting, the fourth meeting involves spiritual layering. And the process of replacement spirituality. So I can say clearly by the providence of God, by the Spirit of God to the Mason that is listening, I don't care if you write to me. I don't care if you're angry. But you are in direct opposition to Christ, to God. You are embracing a masqueraded spirituality steeped and originating in the deepest and darkest of finite demonic presence. You cannot reduce God, reduce Christ, reduce the Word of God, reduce salvation, and make it fit. And that's what every cult, every sect, every New Age grouping, every secret society has done to this day. Whether the Gnostics of old, the Masons, the mystery, you listen, the mystery knowledge or hidden knowledge of the ages, the Rosicrucians. I mean, we can look at all of these. Go back and study the Black Nobility. Go back and study Skull and Bones. Can a president of the United States claiming to be a born-again believer have such allegiance to a old, secretive, weird, we don't even know all the factors of Skull and Bones, other than it originated with Germans and Nazis? What about Bohemian Grove and that secret meeting deep out into the woods where ancient rituals are done and demons are summoned and sent on the guests? Now, my question with Bohemian Grove is this. Who are the elitists that invite world elite there? How powerful must they be to get kings and presidents and military leaders and the wealthiest elite and media moguls all to show up at Bohemian Grove? It is amazing to me that year after year after year, they basically have been bathed in a secrecy. So broad, so wide, so deep that just barely lately have we gotten bits and pieces. But this is the question we need to ask, not who has been there as a guest, but who it is that invites the guests. Who it is that draws world leaders. Who sends out the invitation? What's the power behind a secret society? Behind Bohemian Grove? Behind the Bilderbergers? Behind the Knights of Malta? You know, there are Christian leaders that are claiming that they are now knighted members of the Knights of Malta that are decreed to defend the Pope through physical force if necessary. That's right. Let's ask the question quickly, what's so secret about secret societies? Why the secret? See, I would love to get everything. That's the goal of the believer is not only to get all you can from God in you, His Spirit, the Word, and revelation from God, and to grow and become light of the world. To go after the world. To go after everybody. Whereas secret societies are selective. Even Michael Aquino's Temple of Set. You know what they secretly select whom they might think would be, well, ultimately beneficial to recruit them. Masons don't give a general invitation to everybody to come. If they do, they're not going to let you see the reality of what goes on there. It's just absolutely a front, those first few meetings. Pastors need to understand that. Pastors need to repent and get out of that and turn, and deacons and elders and anybody else who's a real believer in Christ, you need to really take a serious look. And I call you before God to account this day that you're not to be a part of a secret society laced and inspired and begun and empowered by dark spirits, by didache teachings of those spirits, by systems that renounce the deity of Christ and the saving power of Christ, and set him aside only to set their own revelations up higher. Well, again, as was done in the garden, so it's done now. Once again, the constant exchange of the glory of God, Romans 1. Remember I said it Monday, I will mention this all week long. Romans chapter 1, two times it talks about exchanging. Exchanging the glory of God for images. Masons do it. Rosicrucians do it. OTO does it. Theosophical Society does it. But it's included in that chapter, Romans 1, exchanging the truth of God for a lie. Some listening to me right now might need to exchange the lie and get to the truth. Exchange the images, the finite images that have never saved you, that have never led you to God, that have never brought you into His direct presence and for you to know that you know that you know Him in joy and with His power, for you to come out of the worship embrace of the finite images and writings and come to the living Christ. None of the secret societies, none of the old New Age Gnostic or New Age groups will ever be able to lead you to God. God's not an energy, my friends. God's not reduced. We got the infinite, immeasurable God with passion, with love, coming into the world, coming after you, knocking at the door of your heart, and calling you to come home to direct relationship through Jesus. The power wielded at the cross, unlike anything. Listen, all of hell knows it. All of hell doesn't fear the Masons, the Rosicrucians, Skull and Bones, Bilderbergers. They fear Christ. He's coming to end all the radical evil, the lies, and so forth. I hope you know him now. Listen, we're at the end of the hour, so quick. This is Russ Dizdar, Tuesday night, May 11th. Survive to Thrive, the radio network, thank you. And listen, check out shatterthedarkness.net. We'll see you Wednesday night at 6 p.m. God bless and good night.